Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Tomorrow, the whole of America, the whole United States will celebrate a very special day. It's called Independence Day. Freedom. Amen. Freedom. Isaiah chapter 61. God gave a promise what he would do in the last days, beginning from when the church was established, that he will pour out his anointing, his spirit. And by reason of his spirit and his anointing, it's going to bring liberty to men. Amen? It's going to bring deliverance and freedom. Isaiah 60. That is the oil, the anointing that was upon Christ. That is the oil that was released on the day of Pentecost. That is the spirit that is here with us today. So I pray as we celebrate this physical reality of the power of freedom. Nobody likes bondage or captivity. I pray that the Lord in this season will truly turn us by his spirit to what freedom really is. Amen. We're not free to do things our way. We're not free to call evil good and good evil. That's not freedom. We are free to fulfill God's heart and God's destiny for us. Amen? That's what true freedom is. And that's what we're going to experience. Amen? As we pursue the heart of God in this season. Amen? Amen? Amen. So as we celebrate, always use a season to do some personal reflection on freedom. Amen? Amen. Freedom. Am I free? Amen. Oh, the Son has set free, is free indeed. Amen. This morning is a little bit different, and we are really happy what God is doing in Mount Zion. I was really surprised how God would take one incident to inspire you and encourage you and let you know that every step of obedience that is pleasing to him has no limit of blessings. Amen? Amen. Why did I say that? Pastor Grace is here. Sister Inka is not here. There were the few people that were with us in Israel. Right there in Israel on the Mount of Samaria, in the middle of nowhere in Israel, we drove 2 hours to that place. We were there, they were hosting us, and there were this community of Americans that have settled there, and they're doing a great work up in that mountain. They had young, all their children married, girls married to guys, there are men married to girls, and they are forming a community and they are serving to fulfill a promise. And we're there with lots of people. And suddenly, our team came to me, rushing with a young lady. And she was so excited. And she came and she said, "You remember me?" She was one of our students that graduated from Lee, a member of Mount Zion, with the Convergent students. In Israel, he went and called the husband, "Come and meet Pastor Obi in the top of the mountain." The mountains of Colorado, mountains everywhere you go, you will not believe where students from Mount Zion are making a difference. There is no price to the experience of knowing there are people that God has brought through this place. They become sons and daughters of Zion, and God is using them in incredible ways. Amen?
Amen.
And God will continue to use them.
Amen.
This morning, I don't have the words to describe the impact that God has made in my life, and I believe in everyone in Zion, through the life of some of our young people here. There are those that God releases, they become missionaries we send out, and there are those that are here, and you can tell they are pillars of Zion. But there are two that are about to be commissioned. And these two, they are one of those people you don't want to release. But there are people crying where they are. "Send somebody, God, to where we are." So we want to hear what God is going to speak to us through the heart and the relationship this two people that God is commissioning to us this morning. Amen?
Amen?
So we're going to be hearing from two of our amazing young people. And then when they finish this church, we're going to pray with them and release them into their new mission field. Amen?
Amen.
As daughters of Zion.
Amen?
Amen? Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So the first one that will come and speak to us this morning is Delight. Amen.
Amen.
Where is Delight? Delight's from Delight. Okay. And then after her, we're giving them 20 minutes each. After her, then we're going to introduce the next person.
Amen.
She is Delight from Delight. And then we're going to introduce our award-winning Tulu. Amen. Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much because the entrance of your word brings life. Thank you for the time we spend in your presence because it's here that we are ready for battle. Thank you for all the preparations you have been doing. Thank you because as we hear, O Lord, we'll hear and we'll begin to do in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Children of God, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, let's open our Bibles to 1 Kings 18 from verse 41. We're going to go straight into it because, like you said, 20 minutes. Somebody keep an eye on the clock. And it says, 1 Kings 18 from verse 41. And Elijah said to Ahab, "Go eat and drink, for there is a sound of a heavy rain."
Amen.
So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed up to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. Keep this in mind. "Go and look towards the sea," he said to his servant, and he went and looked. "There is nothing there," he said. Seven times Elijah said, "Go back." And the seventh time, the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch your chariots and go down before the rain stops you. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds, and the wind rose, and a heavy rain started falling. And Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came on Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
In this, I was looking on Google because Google, in this like, in this like verse of scripture, I was like, how old is Elijah? Because how can this man who is running with his feet run ahead of someone who is hitched to chariots? And if we look at this, he said the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. First of all, he was on his knees praying. That is very important to the story. He was in a place of prayer. He was readying himself. And he was readying himself. And somebody who had been running, on chariots, chariots that were made for battle, for war, somebody who was walking on his feet, a 50 plus something man. I was like, there was no like exact age because who knows. But like, I know he was 50 plus. He was walking and running, and he ran ahead of someone who had been going on chariots of war. I think that's what the Lord is talking to us today. I think, because I was like, Lord, what am I going to say? And he was like, I want you to tell my people that there is power in being a child of God, and they need to understand that. I think as believers, we don't understand. One time I remember me saying, oh my gosh, do you know who my daddy is? Do you know who my daddy is? My daddy is the creator of the whole universe. The world is in his hands. The power we have as believers, I think we do not understand that. We make and shrink ourselves so small, and we sometimes hide under the coverage of the church. But God is saying there is a city to take over. Cleveland is calling. It's a city for us to take over. And he's saying, go and spend time in prayer. Gird your loins because you start running.
Amen.
Mommy K, yesterday we were dancing and you were saying, we will start running.
Amen.
Everybody here will start running. And when you are running, you will outrun those who have been running for years. You said, oh Lord, when is my time? When is my time? They've been running. My mates have superseded me. They've been going. He said, the Spirit will come upon you and you will start running. And when you start running, those who are on chariots, they cannot catch you.
Amen.
You run and you pass them.
Amen.
And they'll be like, where did she come from? Well, the Spirit of God is upon me and I am running.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's very easy to say, oh, this is in Old Testament. Okay, let's go to the New Testament. Matthew 14:22. Okay. It says, immediately Jesus made the disciples go into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up a mountain side by himself to pray. Very important. Take notes. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went down to them, walking on the lake. How did he catch them? Remember he said, where was he? Well, let's go back. He said, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land. And shortly before dawn, Jesus went to them. He was walking on water. And he caught up to people who were driving on a boat. Can you see? Like, sometimes I'm like, when I sing a song, I will worship you forever, love you forever, because this God is too good. I'm like, the mathematics is not mathematicing. It's not adding up. The plus and minus is not adding up. How are you riding on a boat that was made to go on water, and my legs that were made for the road is catching up to someone who has been riding on a boat? I also understand the power that, number one, comes from being a believer and making a commitment to serve the Lord, number one, and number two, from a time of prayer. I think for this year, I this is my testimony, this year God had been convicting me about my time of devotion, because your girl is spending time on Instagram. The Lord was convicting me and he said, "Delight, devotion," like, because the what we exhibit on the outside is what is the time we spend on the inside, the time you spend to build, the time you spend to build. That's the power you exhibit. Because let me read, because I had to write this quote down. Where is it? Yes, when you spend time in the presence of God, you get power and speed, remarkable speed, and it allows you to overtake. The time we spend on the inside is the power we exhibit on the outside. When we don't spend time in God's presence, because when we're spending time in his presence, where is the second quote? It says it deadens the flesh. Yes, when you spend time in God's presence, when you spend time in prayer, your flesh is deadened and you have the power and the speed, all the luggage that we are carrying. Because trust me, we have baggage. And when you spend time in God's presence, he is taking out all the baggage so you can be light. So when you are running, you are just running. You're just going. And nothing's holding you back. God is convicting. He was convicting me. He's like, "Delight, you do not spend time in the presence. You don't spend time." And like, obviously, like, it's been a slow, gradual process. And I made up my prayer. I was like, okay, Lord, you see, my flesh is strong right now. So I need you to help me. And he just opened door. And like, God just like opening door here and there. And I was being connected to people who were helping me in like my devotion time. And as I was like, okay, so this is what the devil has been denying me of. I see you, Satan. He was denying me of time in God's presence, because he knows that when I spend time and I am dwelling in God's presence, I become light and I can run. And you know what? This power we are getting, let me tell you something. This power we are getting is not for shakara, it's not for play. This power we are getting is because God wants to use this power in us to overtake the city. He says we are more than conquerors. Cleveland is calling. The world is calling. We need to go and take cities. Let me tell you, we are part of the army. God has been telling me, "Delight, we are raising an end time army. Who is in the Lord's army?" Good. The Lord is raising an end time army. Will you be part of the army? And let me tell you, army training is not beans. We're not eating beans in the training war. We are training. We're getting ready. We are studying. We are building our muscle. We're lifting weights. We're getting ready because we're going to fight. God says we are overtaking. Who? We are going to go and take Cleveland. We are going to go and take the city. And the kind of taking we're taking, we need to be prepared. We need to be ready. And I think, like, I just want us to, like, just think about that. And when he says, because going back to Elijah, he says that, like, yes, this level where the Spirit of God is upon you, that is supposed to be our normal level. Anyone who knows this song, "Elijah level is my normal level." Yes. My people know it. So he's saying that this level where God's Spirit is upon us should be our normal level. And it should be our homostasis. And homostasis means maintaining internal stability in an organism even when the outside factors are changing. Like, our normal level should be on this, like, Elijah level, where we are running like chariots. That should be our normalcy. Like, normal for me is that I am running like a chariot. Other people are walking with their 2 feet. I am running and overtaking chariots. That is my normal level. That is the normal level that God has given me. And I want us to just, like, take time and talk to the Lord. Like, begin to talk to the Lord. Lord, empower me. Allow me to understand who I am as a child of God. Let me know my place. Because my daddy is the owner of the heavens and the earth. My daddy has the whole world in his hands. And for me to operate as a child of God, I need to understand who I am. Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? The creator of the universe is at my beck and call. I can call him today, tomorrow, and he answers. And that is an incredible power that we don't know. And we need to walk in this. We need to walk in this, because there are cities to take over. There are places to go. There are places to go, and we need to go. One final scripture we'll read, because Psalm 119. Because recently, Bible study, also Bread of Life. Everyone, please, Bread of Life. Bread of Life Wednesdays at 7 p.m. because the Lord is doing amazing things. Psalm 119. I think I've always known this scripture, but like, I think, like, at One Bread of Life, it just hit me different. Psalm 119 verse 97. My mom will always quote it because she wants us to, like, okay, let me just read it first. It says, "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and makes me wiser than my enemies. I think some verses say that my teachers. So because you love God's law so much and you meditate in it, those who are teaching you, they are not smart. Remember last week's message about like wisdom and foolishness? They are not smart because you love God's law so much. When they are doing engineering and you come with own engineering, it's spiritual engineering because you have spiritual and physical. It makes you like outrun them. Let us understand that the power we have, children of God, what did I say? The power we have as believers allows us to outrun chariots. The power we have as believers allows us to outrun chariots. And you know what? This is what normal level for us. It's a normal everyday Tuesday thing. We're outrunning chariots out here, just like going more than the enemy, just like doing normal things. It's normal for us. And I want to just like open our mouth and pray. Just open our mouth and pray. Just talk to the Lord. Tell the Lord that He will allow you to understand the power you have as a believer. That you understand, you allow you to understand and understand that you have the power as a daughter and son of the Most High God. God has imbibed you with power, that you know who you are, that you take up space. You are not allowed to shrink. You are not allowed to make yourself small. You are supposed to go there and preach the gospel and take kingdoms for Christ. That when you speak, mountains will come down. That when you speak, the people around you will know of the truth. This one is different. This is not normal level. This is different. There is something here that is extra. There is something about you. There is something about you that makes you special. Supernatural. As a child of God. The power we have allows us to run and take nations. In Jesus' name. Second prayer point. Lord, open my eyes to who I am in the Spirit. Open my eyes. Let's pray. Prayers in Jesus' name. Father, King of Glory, we pray and ask that, oh Lord, open our eyes to who we are. Open our eyes that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened. That we will know and that we will understand who we are. That we will see who we are in Christ. That we will understand that we are no ordinary person. I am no ordinary person. In Jesus' name we pray. And the last prayer point is, oh Lord, empower me to take this city for you. Because what? Who is in the Lord's army? Okay, one more time. Who is in the Lord's army? Good. We're going to say as armies and as people in the army, because you know what? We don't eat beans in the army. We just like, we eat things that make us strong. We lift weights. So we're going to pray, oh Lord, empower me to take this city for you. Prayers in Jesus' name. Father, King of Glory, we pray and ask, oh Lord, by your power and by your mercy, oh Lord. We pray and ask, oh Lord, King of Glory, empower us, oh Lord God, to take this city for you. To take this city for you that will outrun wherever you place us, oh Lord, King of Glory. We'll take nations for you. We'll take kingdoms for you. We take kingdoms for you because, oh Lord, you've empowered us by your power and by your mercy. We can run and take cities for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Lord, King of Glory, I thank you, oh Lord, for your sons and daughters, oh Lord. I thank you because you just lifted our spirits, oh Lord, that we understand, oh Lord, that the time we spend in devotion to you is the way we train for the battle ahead of us, because the battle is heavy. The battle will be long. The battle will be difficult, but we are getting ready, oh Lord. Help us to get ready, oh Lord. Help us to understand who we are. And help us to go take the city for you. Thank you for your commission upon our lives, oh Lord. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh God. Let's take a moment and meditate on what you just heard. Please. in every generation, God will always find him a people. For the next generation. Out of the abundance of the heart, you know, people are not just telling stories. Father, we are grateful. We are grateful. You're raising up a people for you, for this generation. And we are grateful. Thank you. Amen. Totally.
Amen. Glory to God. Come on, if you are already blessed, why don't you give the Lord a big hallelujah? Come on, if you know that you are on an Elijah level, why don't you give the Lord a bigger hallelujah? Come on, if you know that you will outrun the enemy, that you are aware of his craftiness, give the Lord a loud hallelujah. Hallelujah. I come to add to what the light already laid the foundation on. And to remind us again of who we are in Christ. Amen. Amen. This is another aspect of who we are in Christ. Amen. Amen. First of all, I want to acknowledge the leaders in this house. On behalf of the young adults, we're so thankful to each and every one of you for the ways that you have trained us with your love, your compassion, your care. Sometimes chastisement, but you've trained us and you've made us ready for what is in front of us. So we want to take the time to acknowledge you and honor you. You've not only fed us spiritually, but you've invited us to your homes as well and made sure that we were never alone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You really, really have been parents to us, and we want to acknowledge each and every one of you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your labor of love on our lives. Amen. So again, we are reminding us of another aspect of who we are. But before that, Father, I hide behind Calvary this morning. I ask that Tolu will not be seen, Tolu will not be heard. But God, your spirit be seen, your spirit be heard. Father, Lord in heaven, I am merely a vessel. So I hide behind Calvary this morning. Father, say what you want to say and do what you want to do. Please, somebody needs to tell me when it's 5 minutes, when I'm 5 minutes up, because I can talk. My time is, please tell me. Today we're going to be talking on the joy of being the bride of Christ. Amen. 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 We're going to be reading from Revelation chapter 19, from verse 6 to 9. Revelation 19, verse 6 to 9. If somebody is there, really quickly, because of time, please read it. If you're there, Revelation 19, verse 6 to 9.
Ooh.
Hallelujah.
For the marriage of the Lamb is come.
Jesus.
And his wife has made herself ready.
Jesus.
It was granted her to be arrayed in fine linen.
Jesus.
Clean and white. Fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints.
Jesus.
Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Jesus.
And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God.
Amen. 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 See, this is how the story ends, right? When all is said and done and we all leave here, rapture happens or we die, this is how the story ends. God, take control. By training, I'm a marriage and family therapist, right? So I've studied marriages. I'm about to enter into one. Glory to God. Amen. So it always fascinates me that the Lord chooses to call us his bride. I'm very acquainted with God as my father. I mean, coming to the States 8 years ago as a 16-year-old about to turn 17, I'm quite acquainted with him being a father, taking care of me, providing for me, making sure that I'm covered, making sure that I'm protected. But there is this aspect of God that always fascinates me, and that's the aspect of him being the great husbandman, him being the bridegroom, him being the one who sanctifies us and makes us holy and purifies us and takes care of us and makes sure that we are as beautiful as we can be when we see him. So today, again, the topic is the joy of being the bride of Christ. So Christ, I will start at the end of the title, Christ. Who is this Lamb? Because the scripture there says that it's the marriage of the Lamb, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Who is this Lamb of Christ? In therapy, one of the things that we tell people is when you're looking at your life and you're trying to plan your life, envision the end. So when you leave the earth, what do you want to be remembered for? What mark do you want to leave, right? So we say, look at the end of the picture. Then from where you are standing, do what you need to do to make sure that that end, that expected end that you see in your mind, you are able to achieve it, right? So this Revelations 19 sets the stage for the end, right? Sets the stage for when the church has been raptured and is we are with the Lord now. The next thing is the marriage supper, right? So who is this Lamb? Who is Christ? We introduce him because in life, I don't know, we have many married couples here. Amen. Come on, married couples, give yourself a round of applause. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. See, it's very important who you get married to. With research, with working with people, with just preparing myself to be married, it's key. It's important on who you are getting married to, right? So now we're going to talk about this Lamb that we are getting married to. And I want to introduce him. Amen. John 1:29 says, the next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. So this Lamb is who? Is who? Amen. Please say that name louder again. It's who?
Jesus.
Come on. If you know who you are getting married to, it's who?
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Amen. Another one says, there's a scripture that says, he shouted, and this is the scripture of this. There was a man who was filled with all sorts of spirit. This man shouted on the top of his voice and says, what do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Amen. So this Jesus is also who? The Son of the Most High God. This is who we are coming into covenant with. Amen. Matthew 9:15 says, how can the guests, this is Jesus talking now, it's in red in your Bible if you look at it. How can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, then they would fast, right? So this was, the context is the Pharisees had come to Jesus and were like, Why are your disciples not fasting? And he said, I'm still here. So when I go, then they can fast. So again, Jesus is calling himself the who? The bridegroom. Amen. He's our great bridegroom. Amen. So now we'll go back to the topic again. It's the joy of being the bride of Christ. Now we've talked about Christ. Now we'll talk about the bride. Amen. So we look here, it's Revelation 27, 9 to 11. It says, one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high and showed me the holy city. Amen. Amen. Come on, we've been saying it, that Mount Zion is where the city of our God. So meaning this place, we as Mount Zion, we are the bride of Christ. Amen. 2 Corinthians 11:2 says, this is Paul talking. He says, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Amen. So here Paul is addressing the Corinthian church and he's telling them that, excuse me, oh, I am working and laboring so that you are a bride who is ready to be presented to the Father as chaste and holy before God. So I want to name some characteristics of a bride. Amen. The bride is beloved. One day here, I don't know who was standing up here, and they said, ask God to tell you who you are, going in conjunction with what my sister Delight had mentioned about who we are in Christ. I think it was Mommy Inka. She said, ask God to tell you who you are. So I asked God. And God whispered to me, Tolu, you are Tolu the beloved. And that's who we are here as well. We are, you can put your name down. We are the beloved of God. You see, John 3:16, which we know. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, which is Christ Jesus, our great bridegroom, that whosoever believes in this name will have eternal life. Just by believing in that name Jesus, we have eternal life. Amen. It's not by works, we are saved by grace. Let no man boast. By grace and belief upon the name of Jesus, that's how we are saved and we become the bride of Christ. Amen. So in Jewish tradition, yeah, according to my understanding, first of all, you are betrothed, right? So they go to your family, they pay the bride price, they do all of that. Now bringing it to our spiritual walk with God, right now we are God's betrothed. So when you are betrothed, you are already married, though. Really, the only thing is that you have not moved in, you have not consummated the union, right? So right now, the moment you give your life to Christ, look at that word, the moment you give your life to Christ, meaning it's a free will. The moment you give your life to Christ and believe, you become betrothed of God. You become his bride. The moment you say, okay, God, I come, like, you know, pastor always gives this example of, you were formerly on this side, you are now on this side. You were formerly bearing this last name, you are now bearing this last name. So the moment you become born again, you move from here and you come here and you say, okay, God, I'm under you now. I'm under your rule now. I'm subject to you now. So by the moment you say that, you are already his bride. Amen. You are already his bride. Amen. The moment you do that, but guess what? That union has not yet been consummated. It will be consummated at the marriage of the supper, right? The supper of the Lamb, right? But between that time, there is preparation that needs to go on. So the first characteristic, like Delight really laid a foundation. Glory to God. The first characteristic is that first, the bride is beloved of God. So it starts there with the love of Christ. Second is that she is subject to Christ. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 25 to 32. If someone is there, if you can read it. Ephesians 5, 25 to 32. And we're looking at the second characteristic of a bride, and that is that she is subject to Christ. Is anybody there? Go ahead. Jesus. And present her to himself as a radiant church. Jesus. Jesus. You can stop there. Amen. 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 So you see there that God, Jesus Christ, right, is our great bridegroom. He is our husband, right? So he is the one who washes and cleanses the bride. But if you see there, it says that the wives are subject. They are to respect. They are to honor. They are to respect and be come under that new name, come under that new covering. So that's another characteristic of the bride, which is the church of Christ. We are subject to God. And subject doesn't mean you are oppressed. No. It means that you simply just said, okay, I was living by this code of conduct before. I was under this vision before. I was in the world before. But now I choose to come to this code of conduct and become under God's kingdom, under what we call the kingdom standard, right? Amen. So that's another characteristic. The third characteristic is that the bride is preparing, but she's also being prepared by Christ. So the scripture there talks about, if you remember in Revelation 19, it said the marriage supper of the Lamb has come and the bride has prepared herself. Delight touched on it. How do we prepare ourselves? We prepare in the place of prayer. We prepare by allowing the Holy Spirit sanctify us and purify us and make sure that we are clean. It says there that she's dressed in fine linen. Okay, let me not go ahead of myself. The next thing there is that she's being prepared. The scripture that Delight just read, it says that Jesus washes her by the washing of the word, right? With water, by the washing of the word, to present her, the bride, to himself, right? Blameless, spotless. So Jesus is the one really who is purifying us by his Spirit as we stay in the word, as we pray in the Spirit, as we surrender our lives to him, as we do God's will and obey him instead of our flesh. We are becoming more like him, and we are being prepared to be that bride. I mean, look at even regular human marriages. Me, myself, and I, I'm preparing for this thing called marriage. So I don't know if you've seen I've been hitting the gym a lot of the time because you prepare, but even more than that physical preparation, you prepare mentally as well. Because if you fail to plan, you plan to fail, right? So it's not, this Christian walk is not a, oh, I gave my life to Christ, that's where it ends. No, no, no. That's where it begins. That's where it begins. The moment where the man says, okay, I want to marry you, that's the beginning. That literally the beginning. There is a process. So as the church and as the bride, we ought to be preparing. Pastor talked about the virgins last week. He said that there were some who were prepared. The wise ones were prepared. The foolish ones they didn't have extra oil in their lamp, right? So as the bride, we have to be prepared. Another characteristic of the bride. See, listen, as we are saying the bride, each one of us here is the bride of Christ, male or female, whoever you are the bride of Christ. Another characteristic is the bride has a special attire. Amen. She has a special attire. You cannot, typically when you go to a wedding, you can't confuse who the bride is. You know distinctively that this is the bride. Why? Because she's typically dressed in white and she has adorned herself with the fine jewels. She's ready. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So the same way, you cannot look like the world. You can't. There has to be a clear distinction between who the bride of Christ is and who the enemy is. There has to be a clear demarcation that no, this one right here is spotless and blameless before the Lord. Amen. So that's another characteristic. So as we go through this characteristic, it's for us to check ourselves. My attire, is there a spot on it? Is there a stain on it? Am I prepared on the inside and out for the coming of my bridegroom? Because he is coming again. We see how the story ends. Jesus is coming again. And he said, so there's another scripture. There's a scripture in Matthew 22. I want us to read it when we get home because of time. Jesus had called a banquet, or the king had called a banquet, and then somebody came that didn't have the attire and said, why are you here? You're not meant to be here. Get out. Literally, that's what happened. So as the bride of Christ, you can't say you are the bride of Christ and you are wearing you have to be blameless and spotless before God. Now we'll go to the last part, which is the joy. The joy. The joy. The joy. The joy. The joy. Please, can I have one person to read Romans 14:17? And this is where we would end our time today. Romans 14:17. If you're there, please read it aloud. Romans 14:17. Romans 14:17. Hallelujah. Please, can you say that again? Amen. Amen. So this kingdom that we are now a part of, it's not eating and drinking, but it is of righteousness, of peace, of joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. So as a believer, joy is one of the hallmarks. Because it says the kingdom of God, yeah, is not what eating or drinking. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. As a believer, joy is one of the hallmarks. I want to say it again. As a believer, as the bride of Christ, if we can be joyful for earthly marriages, how much more our heavenly marriage? As a believer, your life ought to be marked with the joy in the Holy Ghost. So dare I say that if you're not walking in joy, perhaps you need to talk to God this morning. Because that scripture says the kingdom of God is of righteousness, of peace, and of joy. And this joy is not happiness. It's not to be confused with happiness. This joy, he says, Paul says that we rejoice. He says, even in great trial, yet we rejoice. Another scripture says, are sorrowful, meaning you will have sorrow. There will be times when you'll be shedding tears like this. But that joy is a base level. We talked about the standard of just merriment, a calm merriment. Because you know when you're happy, those hormones is like, ah! But when that goes, and that typically is based off on, you know, circumstance, something happened, someone deposited $1 million in your account, you're happy, amen. But that joy is a state where you are constantly still in merriment, still in gladness, still having hope, because joy and hope, they go together. Still having hope that even though right now I'm shedding tears, even though right now this hurts, even though right now this is difficult, but in the Holy Ghost, I still have hope. I still have peace. I still have joy. My base level is joy. That's where it starts. My standard is joy. Because it says the kingdom of God is of righteousness, of peace, and of joy in the Holy Ghost. So this morning, let us go before our Father. I want to pray for three people, three categories of people. The first person is, you've never experienced the joy of salvation. You've never experienced it before. I pray that the Lord, that as you minister to the Lord and you speak to him, because the moment you believe, you receive the fruit of the Spirit, which is peace, joy, long-suffering, patience, all of it. The moment you say, God, I give you my life, I'm born again, you ought to be experiencing joy forever. The second category is that, Tolu, if I'm being honest, the trials, the tribulations of life, the things that have been taken away forcefully, or the things that I let go, one of it is my joy. I've given it away. I've lost it. Somehow, with life and everything, I lost joy. Speak to the Father this morning. David said, Father, restore unto me. That means we can't lose joy. But it says, Father, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. The joy that I am your bride. The joy that I have been blood bought. The joy. Another category is that, well, right now, I believe I'm walking in joy. But I'm really nervous. I'm scared. I don't know about the future. I don't know if I'll be able to maintain. I don't know if I'll be able to keep this joy. Guess what? It's Jesus who gave it to you. Amen. He gave it to you by His Spirit. Amen. So as long as you stay there and stay with Him and keep your devotional life and obey His commandments, you can never lose your joy. You keep your joy. Your joy was meant to stay with you till you see Him. Till you see His face, you keep it. Because you are His bride. You are His bride. You are the bride of Christ. He rejoices over you with singing. He surrounds you with songs of deliverance, with melodies. Come on, just speak to the Father this morning. Come on, speak to your great bridegroom this morning. He's not a man. Flesh and blood cannot do this. So with your spirit this morning, with your spirit, come on, open up your heart. Open up your mouth and speak to the lover of your soul this morning. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, our great bridegroom, Jesus, the lover of our souls, Jesus, we come before you today. We acknowledge you as our great bridegroom. We are subject to you. We come under your leadership, oh God. We come under your guidance this morning, God. Outside of you, we are filthy, but because of you, you can sanctify us. Father, if you can use anything, you can use us. Father, if you can purify anything, you can purify us. So we come under your name, Jesus. And we yield ourselves to you. We place no other above you, God. In sickness and in health, for better or for worse, till death, even in death, you are the one. You are the one. We are holding on to you for dear life. You are the one. Because even in death means we are one with you then. So we yield ourselves to you this morning. Father, let your word bear fruit in our lives. This word, God, that we have power and that we are your bride. My Lord, help us not to forget. No matter what comes our way, help us never to forget that you have never failed and you never will. Amen. Hallelujah.
is just so much to take in this morning of your faithfulness, oh God. You know how to wipe away our tears. Our ears have heard. Our eyes have seen of your goodness. Daughters of Zion, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Just so much. I don't know what you've heard this morning, but it's just amazing. You know, let's do this. Delight and Tolu, can you come out before we pray for them? I don't know what the Lord has spoken to you, because covenants are built on words. Kiza, you can come. I want them to lead us as we take communion this morning, based on what the Lord has spoken to you. Amen. This is very serious what you heard this morning. This is an overflow of their relationship with God. So let them pass the communion. I just want us to really allow the Holy Spirit through this communion to really receive what you are hearing that the Lord has said this morning to us. It's an overflow of their personal relationship with God. It's not knowledge. Thank you, Lord. This you can play. So as we go into prayer, the Lord wants to... God works by what is spoken to you, what you've heard, what you believed. Communion is a remembrance of everything Jesus is for us and has done. It's a memorial remembrance. We're reminded sometimes by what He, by the Spirit, has spoken to us and awaken our hearts. Because I know there is not a soul living this place the way you can. We've been challenged by the Holy Spirit. So as the leaders, we're going to take this communion. This is one of the most solemn things you can ever do in your life as a believer. It's the most thing that you cannot do carelessly. Your heart must be very connected. Your mind, your soul, because you're dealing with the blood of the Lamb. So don't take it casually. Because we've been sanctified by the word of the Lord. What you're taking this morning can make a difference. This whole week, what God can do on your behalf. It's a promise. The word is a covenant. The blood. So as they lead us, they like to lead us in prayer for the word. Tolu will lead us for the blood. Talking about covenant. Marriage. So you meditate, reflect on. Reflect on what you have heard. What the Spirit has said unto you. And you want to settle between you and the Lord. I heard you. I heard you. I receive what you spoke to me. And this morning, I'm taking this word in remembrance who I am, who you are, what you've done. And what I want to be in you. So after the like place leads us, Tolu will lead us, Keziah will pray. And then I will ask the pastors to come so we can pray for them. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your word. Thank you because the entrance of your word gives life. Thank you because we're about to eat of your life. Thank you for the sacrifice of your blood. Thank you for the sacrifice that made it possible for us to be alive. Thank you because you took our place so that we might live, Lord. Thank you for your sacrifice. Help us to remember the sacrifice. The sacrifice that supersedes all sacrifice. You died that we may live. Thank you because we are alive in you. Thank you because as we eat to life and to life everlasting, Jesus. Thank you because we are remembering your sacrifice. And thank you because at the end, this feast is a small feast. Thank you because we are drinking and we are feasting with you. But at the end, we shall be at the great banquet where we shall feast forever and ever. Thank you so much for your faithfulness, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Let's take this promise together. This word.
Dear Jesus, we thank you for your blood. The blood that cries for mercy. The blood that is our dowry. You paid with your blood. You bought us with your blood. Father, Lord, you claimed possession of us with your blood. You went all the way. You gave everything. Everything you had, you gave to us. Father, we remember this covenant. We remember this covenant. We remember this covenant. The same covenant, oh God, that the Israelites did, they plead the blood on the doorpost and the angel of death passed over. Father, Lord, this blood we don't take for granted because truly it was and is a great sacrifice. Father, we ask that as we drink this in remembrance of your covenant and in remembrance that your promise it still stands, that you are coming back for your bride, you are coming back for the church, that you are preparing a place for us, but you are coming back. Father, as we drink of this blood and we partake, oh Lord, in your joy and also in your suffering, Father, may your grace not be in vain in our lives. That on that day, truly we would feast with you. We will see you face to face and be with you forever. In Jesus' name.
Father, we thank you for the covenant that we have with you, for the marriage relationship that you chose to have with us. Imperfect and unworthy as we are, you came into us. I'm reminded of the scripture that says that the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in us. So we have all of you in us. Father, forgive us when we have allowed other things to look like they are too big. And you, the Almighty God that is dwelling in us, we have made you little. Forgive us, O God. Today, let the power of the Holy Spirit arise upon us. On this third day of July, this month of perfection, the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, from that resurrection power, O God, be released in us. That we will arise. That we will arise. That we will arise. That we will overtake situations. That we will overtake chariots. That will overtake circumstances. That no power will be able to stand upon us. We see the small cloud because you've released your word. We see the cloud, the sound, just the size of a man's hand. Hallelujah. We embrace the joy. We embrace the hope. We embrace that you have released today. All of us in this place and those watching online, Father, we say from today we arise. Let the joy of the Lord overtake us. In the name of Jesus, we are filled with joy. Father, others will experience your joy through us. They will see us, O God, not as sad, sorrowful, mournful people. But today, O God, we put on the garment of joy. And we begin to run. We run. We run. We run. And we say, every darkness give way. Every sadness give way. Every power that has overtaken us in the past. Today we announce to you, we, the church, we have risen up. The army of Jesus has risen up. Father, let none of us leave this place feeling that the enemy has overtaken us or that circumstances of life have beaten us down. We lift our heads up and we say, give us that joy. We anticipate that day none in this place will be missing on that table. None will be missing, oh God. And Lord, take away those filthy, dirty garments from us. Clothe us with pure spotless garments. Spotless garments from today. Let Mount Zion stand for you as the bride of Christ. Thank you for these young people that you've used to awaken us. We rise up, mighty men, mighty women, mighty boys and girls, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name.
The blood of Jesus will speak for you. Because of what we've done this morning, he speaks for you. Even when you have no voice, he will speak for you. Amen. Amen. Before our pastors come, if they want to come, Pastor Manuel, just come so we can just pray for them. Amen. Can take a microphone to Pastor Van over there. He will pray for us. Amen. Amen. Just come, all our prayer leaders, Pastor Victor, all of you come. There's a few there. Amen. Okay. All our prayer leaders, just come and join us. Pastor Grace, anyone that wants to come, you can come. Anyway, amen. Hallelujah.